Attention Austin musicians and music industry professionals, are you having a difficult time navigating these tricky waters? Well, the Austin Music Foundation is here to help you. The Austin Music Foundation is a nonprofit dedicated to strengthening and connecting the local music community with innovative programs that empower musicians, music industry professionals, and music businesses within Austin's creative economy. With expert panels, consultations, mentoring, and mixers, AMF's programs provide the necessary tools and opportunities to help the Austin music industry succeed. Now look, ever since COVID took over last year, everything's moved online. The consultations are online. They're at no cost to the artist or to the music industry professional. Just go to austinmusicfoundation.org. That's austinmusicfoundation.org to find out how they can help you. Austin Music Foundation is here to help. Let's get down. Hey gang, it's Johnny. I just want to take a second to talk to you guys about engagement. Right now, you're listening to the show, and I'm not sure exactly what platform you're listening to it on. But whatever platform you're listening to it on, you can subscribe to it and get an alert every time a new show drops, usually every Tuesday and every Friday. New shows every Tuesday and every Friday. Whatever platform you're listening on, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, any platform, you can subscribe to it. And if you can leave a comment, leave a star, share it on your social media if it's something that you like, please do that. We encourage you to do that. And also, as far as social media goes, you can follow me on Instagram and Twitter. I am at Johnny Gowdy on Instagram and Twitter. Give us a follow. You get to see photos even of my dog, of guests on the show, of different shows I play. Whatever it is that I'm talking about that I've been doing on the show, you'll be able to catch up on through Instagram and Twitter. Also, you can like our Facebook page, How Did I Get Here? Please do. You'll see photos of me with guests that have been on the show. Anyway, all I want to say is, you like a show, share it, use the hashtag, How Did I Get Here Pod. We'll give you a shout out. Thank you so much for listening to the show and engage. Let's get down.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
Time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host, Tom Howdy.
All right, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. I've had a good week. I went to Houston at the beginning of the week to help out with my grandma and my aunt. My aunt was having cataract surgery on Tuesday, and my grandma's 99 years old and needs a lot of help anyway. So I went to Houston. We did all that stuff. It was kind of madness, man. My aunt that had the cataract surgery, they gave her like a pretty strong dose of Valium, which she is not used to taking. And it wiped her out for like 36 hours. Insane, right? I mean, she was kind of knocked out for like 36 hours. She slept all day until the next day, and then we went in for her exam the next day. She was just really out of it. But anyway, I had a good time hanging out with them. It was nice spending time with them and hanging out with my Aunt Christina, my Aunt Olga, my grandma. It was really nice. All the dogs being crazy. Rosie had a good time. Then we got back last night, but we went to the dog park today, and man, I haven't been to the dog park in like, you know, a little over a week. And I've been telling you guys, I made some friends there, but there's this one weird guy there that expresses his political views. So this morning I go there and he's the only regular guy there. And I'm like, oh Jesus. So this guy, that's one of them. After a week I'm coming in. So me and Rosie walk into the dog park and he's like, oh my God, did you hear the drama? And I'm like, no, dude, I've been out of town. It's like, oh, man, well, this one guy told this other lady that he didn't like me, and now he's not bad. And he starts laying into this whole thing, and you're like, man, I've been taking care of my 99-year-old grandma and my other aunt having cataract. Like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard is, like, drama. I don't care. Just want to bring my dog here. But then at that moment, a bunch of dogs kind of attacked Rosie. It just attacked her. Like, you know, and then she started fighting back, and then it got serious. So I get Rosie, I take her out of there, and then I just kind of put a leash on there and left. I don't know if I can do the dog park anymore. It went from like having some buddies there to like now it's like this dreadful thing. Like you pull up and it's just that guy and you're like, oh God. I just want to take my dog to the dog park. Not have her have to fight with a bunch of dogs. I love her. Anyway, So that's what I came home to. Hey gang, if you're listening to this show the day that it comes out, I am co-hosting an event tonight called Lush Life 3. I'm co-hosting with my friend Kat Costello from the Austin Downbeat podcast. This show is taking place tonight, Friday, July 29th at the Pershing, and features music from Joshua Asante, James Robinson, and Leo Crimbley, with a special DJ set by Jerron Marshall from the Black Pumas, and a very special guest who I know who it is, but I'm not allowed to say until you get there. That's not, you won't know who it is till he walks on stage, or they walk on stage. Sorry. Okay. So what? It's a he. I gave that away. I don't think I'm going to get fired for that. Anyway, it's going to be a great time. You can get your tickets at thepershing.com. Again, that's Lush Life 3 taking place tonight, July 29th at the Pershing. Go to thepershing.com for all of your Lush Life 3 needs. Gang, I have a great show for you guys today. Yeah, that's right, man. Singer-songwriter Michael MacArthur is on the show today. His sophomore LP, Milky Stars, will drop on September 16th on Transoceanic / Soundly Music. And it was produced by Jack Wire King, who did Tom Waits, Kings of Leon, James Bay, Modest Mouse. Fantastic record. The first single, Lady Luck, is already out now, and it's been in the Billboard Top 40 for adult alternative music. And also, his second single, Runaround, is available now wherever it is you stream and download music. As I said, Milky Stars drops on September 16th and produced by the great Jack Wire King. Can you believe that? Anyway, check this out. He's been working with these massive producers since he very first got started. His very first debut EP was produced by David Bianco, who did Tom Petty and Lucinda Williams, and also Greg Wells, who did Taylor Swift and Adele. Then his first full-length LP was produced by Ryan Freeland, who did Ray LaMontagne and Bonnie Raitt. So this guy's been like in the zone working with amazing people and making amazing music. He is an amazing songwriter who gets great, great, great comparisons to like Johnny Cash and Glenn Hansard and people like that. But you know what I thought when I was listening to it? He reminded me a lot of Richard Thompson. When I brought it up to him, he didn't even know who Richard Thompson was. So anyway, we have a fantastic conversation about him dealing with very terrible stage fright at the beginning of his career and actually going as far as to open a coffee shop with his brother to get away from playing music, but then ending up getting into it, playing it, overcoming his stage fright, and now he's working with all these great people, and he's out on tour. You can find him at michaelmacarthurmusic.com. Check out his song Lady Luck. I will play the song Runaround, which is his latest single out now. Check it out wherever it is you listen to music, wherever it is you stream and download your music. All right? MichaelMacArthurMusic.com. Enjoy it. Me, Michael MacArthur, chatting it up in my grandma's backyard over Zoom. Let's get down.
It's all night long. A stranger blowing up her phone. She'll try to say that she don't know. Here we go. Can't you tell if she don't play the light so well? Neither could the soul.
Johnny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, man. What's happening?
Nothing much, man. I just realized my hair looks terrible. So I'm apologizing for that, like, off the bat. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. We were, I'm sorry about the mix up earlier. We were on the road and we're still on the road. So we're basically making the drive from Knoxville to Charlottesville, which is about 5.5 hours.
Are you in a hotel?
We just pulled over. Jordan, the radio guy that I'm with is, he happens to know everybody. So we just pulled over at a hotel and got us a conference room.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Well, thank you for stopping and taking the time.
Of course, man. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, man. Hey, congratulations. This record doesn't come out until September 16th, but I was lucky enough to get to listen to it a bunch. What a great piece of work, man.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Thank
yeah.
you for listening.
So the song that's out, Lady Luck, people can hear that whenever. You going to release another single between now and September 16th?
Yeah, so on July 8th, I believe it is, a song called Runaround will come out. And then I have another single coming out in August called Winding River. And then the album will drop on September 16th.
Okay. Great, man. So you're on tour. Where are, you're doing the Southeast right now? Is that what you're saying?
We're doing a radio tour with some shows sort of peppered in.
Oh, okay.
So did Lightning 100 yesterday in Nashville.
So wait. Are you doing like the conference room thing? I did that a long time ago. Like 20 years ago.
No, not this one. We're actually visiting radio stations and playing and doing interviews on air.
Oh, that's great. Okay.
Not
the weird one where you have to go out and do the conference room. Like, everybody, there's free pizza in the thing, and these two guys are going to try and...
I'm sure I'll have to do that too, you know, eventually.
That's a pretty rough one. So how's it going? Like, I mean, I know that's a weird... It's a weird space to be in mentally. You know what I mean? Like the super salesman. Like, you're not actually playing shows, but you are reaching a great number of people that you're not seeing or hearing.
Yeah, it's, you know, to be honest, I try not to think about that very much. You know, the people that run radio stations, the DJs, the program directors, music directors, they're doing it because they care about music and they love music. And I've met so many wonderful people who care about music, and that makes it easy. Because right. I'm having a conversation. There just happens to be a microphone in front of my face, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm in that moment talking to that person, whoever that is.
That's great. That's really great.
I think I have to do it that way too, because otherwise, if I start thinking about, you know, whoever's listening and
right.
how many people, it gets a little freaky.
So is this all put on kind of like through Transoceanic Records? Do they have a radio department, or do they get like a radio guy? Like, there's companies that do independent radio stuff.
Yeah, so a guy named Jordan Zucker, he's amazing. He's got a company called Infirst Promotions, and so they sort of hire out the different things that are needed to make the machine run.
Okay. Has anyone ever told you there's a couple songs I wrote down this as a note that I don't know if any... Are you a Richard Thompson fan?
I don't know Richard Thompson.
There's a couple songs where your voice sounds like his.
Okay.
I was like, he's got like a Richard Thompson quality to his voice.
Yeah, I'll have to look him up.
It's like the lower vibrato singing. That's so
great. Okay. Well, what's one of his songs that you like?
Off the top of my head, I can't think. It's just a general sound of his. But he's like a singer-songwriter. I noticed there's guys like John Hyatt. Those are the guys that you kind of like connect with, right? Tom Waits.
Tom Waits, John Prine. Anybody that is sitting in a room with an instrument and writing a song, those are the artists that I connect to.
Yeah.
And
your emphasis in your songwriting is your lyrics. It's the overall song, but the lyrics are the main part. Are you a Mary Gaucher fan? Do you know her?
No, I don't.
Oh, she's a great songwriter. Anyway, I just read her book, and she was on the show, but she's Saved by a Song is her memoir. But there's just a lot about attention to details and all of these tricks that she has lyric-wise where you start in focused on something very close, and as the song goes back, this camera pulls out, and you're seeing the context of the thing that you're saying, which changes sort of the meaning of everything throughout the song.
Yeah, totally. That's great. A great way to put it. It's interesting because lyrics are the thing that I focus on, and they are what keeps me connected to a song. So, like, if I don't get the lyrics really right, then I don't feel like the song is special. And the way that it's special to me, that I can then be okay with playing it every night. The interesting thing about that, though, is that when I listen to music, I listen to the rhythm first and the melody first. So I can listen to a song and not really know what it's about.
Right.
But when I'm writing a song, it's all about the lyrics.
Right. So as a listener, you're like a McCartney guy, and as a writer, you're a Dylan guy.
There you go.
So talk to me a little bit about making this record. Your last record, Evergreen, Ever Rain, that came out and started picking up speed right when COVID came in and stopped everything. Is that right?
Yes.
Talk to me a little bit about that record and where that was taking you in your career at that time.
Okay. So put the record out in January of 2019. And to back up a little bit, I actually I drove from Florida to Los Angeles, California to make the album. Recorded it with a guy named Ryan Freeland, who's amazing. And he put together a band of really great players. And we made the album in 4 days at United Recording Studio, Studio A.
Wow.
So that was an experience in and of itself. Because yeah. Ryan came one day and he was like, man, you hear that reverb we have on your vocal? He was like, Sam Cooke's voice has been pumped through that chamber.
Wow.
You know, amazing experience. So much history and soul in that building. And came back home, self-released it, and then put together, you know, a bunch of house concerts and opening slots. And I was doing everything by myself. You know, I booked all my own shows, traveled alone, the whole thing. And so my plan was to be, I was on tour all of 2019, and then my plan was to be on the road for 2020 as well. But obviously COVID hit.
Right.
So I went back to writing songs, and it was sort of the first time in my, you know, professional, like musical career life that I didn't have a plan from, and I've been doing this for 12 years now. So from day one, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, and whether or not I was doing it right, I was taking the steps that I thought were right, the steps that I had. Yeah. That I was able to take to try to get to where I was going. So when the COVID hit, that was the first time was where I had no choice but to be home. And so I didn't start writing. A lot of people were like, oh, I was so productive and so, you know, prolific during that time or whatever. I wasn't. It was like I couldn't do anything else. So I would make myself write. I wasn't always inspired. And for me, writing songs in general, I don't typically sit around and wait for inspiration to hit. You just gotta, you know, you can't write a song unless you pick up the pencil. So
exactly. It's like that thing.
That's what I did.
That thing Neil Young says, where someone was like, "So do you write like when inspiration hits you?" And he's like, "Yeah, but inspiration usually only hits me when I've been working on a song for a couple hours."
Exactly. That's it.
Yeah.
So in the summer I had a bunch of songs that I had written, and every time I write a song, I make a demo, like an acoustic
right.
demo, just a performance of the songs that I can remember it, and I'd log it. And I sent a few of them to Jakir King, who is, you know, in them. It was a guy that, like, I told myself, if I could work with anybody and make my next record, it would be him. And we weren't connected in any way. So I sent him a cold Instagram DM.
Whoa.
And 2 weeks later he responded and said that he loved the songs and that he wanted to get on the phone. So we did.
What? That's awesome. What Tom Waits record did he do?
Mule Variations.
Oh shit. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's the one that got you, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's such a great, I mean, Hold On and Sonic, I mean, the songs are beautiful. It's Tom Waits. The sonic, like the way that it sounds, the way that record sounds is just amazing.
Yeah.
You know?
When did you get into Tom Waits?
I came into Tom Waits late, probably the last 5 or 6 years.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
How old are you?
Yeah. 37.
Okay. Yeah. Sometimes you walk into something and you're like, oh, that's what that is? Shit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I was familiar with his music, but for me, and it's probably like this for everybody, but the timing has to be right to do that deep dive.
Sure.
To like go all in. Like I'd heard Tom Waits songs before. I'm like, man, this guy's cool. And I had people recommend stuff of his to me. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll check that out sometime. And at some point, the right moment hit and I went in, you know, watched all his videos online and interviews and listened to all his records and, So now he's a hero. I mean, for me.
Yeah. Yeah. What a great, has he played since you've been a fan? Like shows that you would have been able to see?
Never got to see him, you know, cause he did that last, well, I mean, he's played around, but he did that, when he played, one last look on Letterman. I think it was back in 2015 or 16 or something like that. And that was, which was a beautiful song to do, but that ended up being his last performance at the time. And then I know he's done some other like guest appearances and things like that, and obviously movies and stuff. But
right. Okay, so you reach out to, how do you say, Jaguar King?
Jakir,
sorry, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. Jakir King. He did the, what Kings of Leon, did he do that Sex is on Fire record?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did that one. He did James Bay's first record, a Nora Jones, Mute Math, Modest Mouse, Foy Vance. I mean, the list is pretty long.
Jeez. So you guys, you sent him the tunes, he liked them, and then you went into that studio and started recording, and you did it really fast, man. You did 3 days, you said?
Oh no, that was the last record.
Oh, the last record.
Yeah, this one I was there for 3 weeks, okay. And
still fast.
And before, yeah, it's fast. And before I even went down to or went up to Franklin to make the record, he basically, Jakir has this studio in like a 125-year-old house. So he bought this house, converted into a studio, which is great because you walk in, it's got a kitchen, and you just feel like you're hanging out at home. You know, like the living room is now the control room, and you know, the vault used to be a bathroom. You know what I mean? And so it's got a great vibe, and Franklin's beautiful. So it was easy to feel comfortable there. And Jakir is also really great at making people feel comfortable. So, but before we even got to that point, we'd probably had 10 or 12 hour long phone conversations, and because the way that he approaches making a record is, he always says, you know, I can't make your best record, because that's what I'm here to do, is to make your best record, if I don't know you. Right. So we get on the phone and we just talk about life, we talk about family, talk about sometimes music, sometimes not. And I thought that was pretty cool, because nobody's ever done that with me before. And so when I made the record,
can I ask you real quick? Sorry, Michael. Did you feel the difference when you went in the studio?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. And now we're friends, and it's like, it wasn't a transactional thing. It wasn't like, you've hired me to be a producer, I'm going to give you a record, and at the end of the day, we're going to say our goodbyes. It wasn't like that. It meant,
right.
It means, you know, he realizes what it means to an artist to make an album, and it means the same thing to him. So he's at a point in his career where he's made a lot of great records, and he just works with whoever he wants to. He takes projects he wants to work on.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky that he, you know, wrote back and that he was interested in making this record. And
right.
And so from that point, he started sending it to people here and there that he thought might be interested in it. And he sent it to a company called Transoceanic. And they loved it. And I got on the phone with them, and they loved it so much, actually, that they wanted more. So they sent me back to the studio with Jakir and the original band to record two more songs.
Fantastic, man.
Just back in January. And so now we're finally getting to the point where we're putting it out.
Amazing. Congratulations. How'd you get Drew Smithers on the record? Are you friends with them?
Jakir. Yeah. So Jakir brought in the band, and, you know, Drew's such a sweetheart. So we're buds now too. And obviously Aaron Sterling on drums, who's just got off tour with John Mayer, and he plays with her a bunch of people.
Oh, wow.
Eli Beard, incredible. Rustin Kelly. And then my buddy Josh Davis and Elliot Blaufuss, who is an incredible multi-instrumentalist. So, yeah, just a great band. And the thing about even the people that he picks to play in the band, you can tell that for Jakir, the fact that they're a good human being is just as important as how well they can play their instrument.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everybody got along. There's no egos. There's no, you know.
Yeah.
We just laughed and had lunch and made music. It was sweet.
To me, like, at least 70% of my decision-making with whom I'm going to be locked in a room with or locked in a van with or, you know, in a rehearsal room with, it has to have the hang.
Yeah.
Over absolutely. Virtuosity any day.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure. That'd be a good person, man.
Yeah, totally. And that's, I mean, this is like, it's so... It's funny because there's some people that thrive, and when you're describing these sessions, I imagine they were very like that Jakir was there lifting you up and not like beating you down. A lot of times there are people that swear by the tension in a session.
Oh, for sure.
But I don't really respond to that kind of energy.
I mean, everybody's different. I don't respond to that energy either. Even if, like, you have to be able to tell somebody that something isn't right or not good enough, but what is good enough, right? Because it's music is very subjective, but you have to be able to guide, with three hands. You have to be able to steer the thing. And that's a special skill. And I think that's what makes a great producer, you know.
That's what you're saying about Jakir. You guys spent all that time on the phone getting to know each other in this way. You could circumvent certain arguments in the studio just simply on the fact that you are already on the same page when you walk in, which is sometimes can be an intense situation if someone's got a different agenda than you do going in, you know?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I have done this long enough. You know, in my early years, I thought I knew best. I wanted control of everything.
Yeah,
I wanted to make decisions. You know, I was like, no, I'm the artist. I should know. and I mean, I don't know, man. I get so much joy out of letting someone else do what they're best at.
Yeah.
And let them, you know, welcome that element of humanity into the thing that you're making together.
Right.
As a micromanaging the process, and you know, and like Jakir, that's the way that he operates. So he, if somebody has an idea, we're trying it. Even if in his mind he's like, I don't know if that's going to work. He doesn't even say that. He's like, right. Let's give it a shot. And if you know any musician that's in that room that's worth being there, they're going to know right away too if it worked or not.
Yeah.
You know. It's just all around a great experience.
You've worked with a lot of really great producers. David Bianco, you worked with Greg Wells, who's a hero of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a couple songs with Greg. And
it's probably all you need to pick up some good habits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, that was a great, that was, and he is an amazing musician. He actually, the two songs that were recorded, I played guitar and sang, and he played everything else.
Yeah. He's like Prince or something like that.
Yeah, he played drums and bass and keys and, you know, piano and organ and whatever else. You know, he just did it all. That was pretty amazing. And then working with David Bianco, which, rest in peace, David, because he passed away. What a sweet guy. What a sweet guy. I mean, he just... I made an EP with Dave Bianco at his studio in California.
Are you live in Nashville? That's where you live?
I live in Florida.
In where?
In Florida, Lakeland, Florida.
Which is okay.
It's like, it's right in between Tampa and Orlando. It's a medium-sized town. It used to be small town. It's kind of medium-sized now. It's growing.
Why do you live there? And not somewhere weird.
Because I think, you know, I almost moved a few times. I had that thing that everybody has when you're still living in the town that you're from, that you were born in. You know, you have this like, oh, I can't wait to move somewhere else. Or a lot of people do anyway. And I definitely did. Almost moved to Nashville a couple of times, almost moved to LA, you know, to pursue my dream of making music for a living. But, the thing about being a musician is you're on the road a lot and you get that travel fix in tenfold.
Yeah.
And it's nice to have a place that is home to come back to. And yeah. for me, home is where, you know, the people make the place. Home is where family and friends are. And that's,
right.
you know, that's Lakeland.
I wasn't born in Austin, but I've lived in Austin for 30 years. And throughout my whole thing, I was always like, I don't really need to live in those cities I don't want to live in because mm-hmm. I can just go to them when I need to do stuff. Do you,
absolutely.
Do you have any aspirations of like, you know, office songwriting?
You mean,
like, yeah, the professional songwriter guy?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
Well, then you don't need to live there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, and so many great songs have been written that way.
Sure.
It's just not the way that, it's not the way that my brain works, I think.
Sure.
I don't think I'd be any good at it.
Yeah. I mean, there's people that are good at it and there's people that like their approach to it is a little more, solemn and communal with whatever the spirit is that gets you going in that level, like a one-on-one thing. It's kind of hard to have an orgy in that, you know what I mean? It becomes a little less personal as soon as you start bringing other people into it. Yeah. Yeah. No matter what the nature of it is, you know?
Well, I haven't heard it put quite like that, but that made sense.
I'm a weird guy. So you were born there and raised there. And how did you find music at first? Like, when did you connect with music where you heard it in a new way and wanted to be part of it?
For as long as I can remember, I've been an avid listener of music. You know, I had a Discman growing up. I had cassettes. There was always music playing at the house. I had a, you know, my Discman, I brought it with me to school, and on the bus, as soon as I got on the bus, I'd put it on and I'd play whatever CD was there. I was always listening. I was fall asleep listening to music. And my uncles on my dad's side and my dad, they all, when they were my age, pursued music for a living. They would write songs. They played guitar and piano and,
so it was going on around you. Yeah.
It was going on around me. Yeah. And, in elementary school, I started singing really young singing along to Stevie Wonder and Bill Withers and Boys to Men and, Michael Jackson and a lot of R&B stuff.
Yeah.
And I was in chorus in elementary school. And then I was in band in middle school. I was a percussionist first.
Before
I started playing, I was a percussionist, which I did that because I was so into R&B and I loved the rhythm section and songs, and that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to be a drummer.
What focus were you in the percussion? Like, what instrument was it?
I played snare and I played the timpani and I played bells and I played, you know.
So some symphonic stuff. So you were learning music stuff as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then when I was a sophomore in high school, there was this kid at my high school who was selling a guitar, and my grandfather bought me that first guitar.
What was it?
It's like a made in Korea Fender acoustic.
Sweet.
It's hanging on the wall at my house.
Has a Strat headstock?
It doesn't. No, it's got the flat
regular headstock.
Like regular squared off headstock.
Oh. Too bad, man. I like those. I've never had one of those Fender ones with the Strat looking headstock, and they always kind of make me laugh, but I also like them.
Yeah, there's something about them.
So when did you start like playing, performing publicly and stuff? Like, what did that hit you in high school? Like, after you got the guitar, did you write songs or did you learn songs or what happened?
No, I didn't start playing until well after high school. I come from a place of terrible stage fright.
Oh, really?
So, oh yeah. Like, when I first started playing music, I would dream about being on stage and dream about releasing music and having songs that, having people sing songs that I had written and, connecting with those people in that way. Like I had connected to my heroes growing up, but I wouldn't even play a song for my mom, you know? She would ask me to play and I'm like, absolutely not. And And then eventually I started playing out, doing little shows here and there. But I had real stage fright. I would get blurry vision and, throw up before the thing.
Wow.
And, I feel like the only way to get over, something like that is to keep doing it.
Yeah.
And so I did. And, I still get nerves. I still get, it's more excitement though, because in the early days I would be so excited to finish a show.
Yeah.
And now I'm so excited to start the show.
That's great.
Which is a different perspective, but, started playing shows. In an effort to avoid having to pursue music as a career, my brother and I opened up this coffee house in my hometown.
Oh, cool.
And it's still there. My brother still has it. But I would eventually leave to do music. And I sold my ownership to him and the whole thing. But the first show that I played, first public show that I played, was at the coffee shop.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And this way it was packed.
Yeah.
Because we know a lot of people in the community. It was packed, and I was fucking terrified. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that was the first one. It was special.
What was it that made you cross the line, like in 2010, to make that move? Like what was the thing? What was the catalyst? Did you write a song that people responded to and said like, oh, this is better than the average song? Because you're a fucking great songwriter.
Oh man, thank you. Yeah. Sorry. Thank you. It's a lot, I think more serendipitous and simpler. I was at work and doing some work on my computer or something like that at the coffee shop. And I came across this quote by Mark Twain, and it's much longer, but the part that really grabbed me was the beginning. And it's super simple, but profound in that it reads something like, 20 years from now, you're not going to regret the things you did. You're going to regret the things you didn't do.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
And so in that moment, I think I just read it at the exact right moment. It's kind of like hearing a song at the right moment.
Yeah.
It touches the way that you weren't expecting or even know that you needed. And just a few weeks after that, I was walking around downtown with my brother, delivering the news to him that I was leaving.
To the what?
So that I was letting him know that I was leaving.
Oh wow!
Just a week later, yeah, and I did.
So what was that? I mean, you just jumped in with both feet.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
Were you recording? Yeah. You record these demos that you write like on your computer or something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have. Well, back then, because I've been making like writing songs and making up songs and making recordings since I was, 18, and did that on and off. But it wasn't until 2010 that I really, when I left the business and decided to make music a career, that's when I did it every single day, sometimes 7 days a week. I haven't stopped. Since 2010, there's never once been a period of, a few months go by and I haven't thought about written, played a show, done something
every day.
It's been nonstop for 12 years. Yeah. I mean, I'm take a weekend off, but like not, there's never been any extended period of, doing something else.
That's amazing. I mean, that's what it takes. You know what I mean? To get anywhere. It's interesting because there's a lot of people these days that with the popularization of like viral things and things that don't like where a guy drinking juice out of a milk jug behind behind a truck makes a Fleetwood Mac song number one again, like just shit that you can't really predict, that like things you can't really work for. And there's already so much chance in this business. You know what I mean? There's always so much chance. Everything, like you can get the biggest record deal in the world, or whatever that means at this point, or make the greatest record. You still don't know if people are going to hear it. You know, if it's going to match the algorithms on the 30,000 tunes like released that week or whatever.
Absolutely, we're actually just having this conversation in the car with Jordan, he was talking about how, you know, there are 30, you know, or more parts that all contribute to a song or an artist being successful, and they all have to work together like the mechanisms in a watch, you know, in order to move those hands and to turn the date and the hour, you know. And even with all that, even if the watch is running, there's still an element of luck that you have to have too.
So yeah, totally.
You know, so but I feel, you know, I feel very lucky and I feel grateful to be even to be where I am, and hopefully have a long road ahead of me. I'd rather take one small step at a time. We also talked about, like, I asked Jordan the question because he's been doing this for a long time. I said, would you, if you were an artist, would you want a hit or no hit? And he was like, oh man, that's tough.
It is tough, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tough. Tough to answer. And I don't even know how to answer. I mean, I think the way that I would answer it is I would rather just have a small core group of people who appreciate what I do and show up when I come to town, you know.
Not a bunch of people standing at your show for the whole show just waiting for that song.
Waiting for the song.
They don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, I would rather, like, I saw before John Prine passed away, I went and saw him. I went to the show by myself, actually, but he played at a theater in Tampa and it was sold out. It was right after Tree of Forgiveness came out. And I was sitting there and I was watching him do his thing. And it was amazing. He just released this album of new material, and he was however old he was at the time, late 60s, you know. And I was like, this is what I want. I want to release an album when I'm 70 years old and go out and tour.
Yeah.
And I want 1,000 people to show up. That's it, you know. That's what I want.
A few years ago, I was going out with this girl, and I'm 53, but I've been a professional, like, I've made my living playing music since I was like 23 years old. So
amazing.
I mean, I do a bunch of different stuff, but it's all music stuff too. You know what I mean? It's like playing a different band. I've been the artist, but then as I've gotten older, I've diversified my talents. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This girl I'm dating's uncle, or was dating's uncle, came up to me at this family thing I was at with her and was like, man, when are you gonna stop doing all this and do something like regular? And I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is McCartney does not need to spend his 80th birthday in some fucking weird city in a hotel being on the road. He's got plenty of money. He's just got to fucking play because that's what his purpose in life is. Like, that's what our purpose in life is to make these things and go out and tell people about it.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no end to that. There's no fucking gold watch and then you get to go watch, like, TV. Like, what are you? I don't want to do that. I want to stay engaged in life, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's nothing like it, man. There's nothing like hearing music, watching people play music, getting to play music, connecting with people that love music. There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it. Are these AAA radio stations that you're going to?
Yeah, some AAA, some non-com, some Americana. We're making several stops on this trip, and then I'll get home right before 4th of July, and then we may go back out on the road again before the album comes out. Mm-hmm. To make a few more stops, doing the Under the Sun thing at Americana Fest in Nashville in September.
That's great.
It's like this big show that they do on the rooftop of the, I think it's the Westin or the W, whatever, I don't, something. It's a big rooftop party that they do, and it's they have bands playing all day, and so playing, and then doing a big release show at the Polk Theater in Lakeland, I'm announcing it now. I haven't told anybody, but I don't know when this will come out.
This will come out in a couple weeks.
Okay, cool. So September 24th in Lakeland, in my hometown, do a big release show.
That's fantastic, man. My aunt is a judge at in Tampa.
Oh yeah,
yeah, Leanne Gowdy. She just got sworn in last year in January of last year. Yeah, yeah,
wow. Yeah. So have you spent much time in Florida then?
I have. I was born in Miami, and I lived in Texas and other places growing up. But when I was a teenager, my mom died. I had to move to Miami and live with my dad, and I went to Miami Beach Senior High School.
Mm.
So I'm more South Florida. I'm Cuban. I don't look like it, but both my parents were born in Cuba, and I was born in Miami.
Oh, yeah, nice. Yeah, I spent time growing up going down there, too. My mom is Puerto Rican. That whole side of family is Puerto Rican. So I had family in Homestead and Hialeah and in Miami. So I spent the summers going down there.
Yeah. I'm at my grandma's house in Houston right now, and my aunt is inside making croquetas, which I'm going to eat right when I get done with this.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Great.
So,
I love it.
So have you played Austin? Have you played like South by Southwest and stuff?
I haven't yet, no.
You haven't?
I haven't. Yeah.
Are you going to Austin on any of this radio thing to talk to who would be the Sun Radio or KUTX or?
That's a great question. I'm not sure.
Well,
I just go where they tell me to go.
I understand that. I understand that. And I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to me, man. This record's fantastic. I would want to talk more about it, but there's no way for people to listen to the whole thing except for this song, Lady Luck. And the song Runaround will be out July 8th. Maybe I'll drop it off, drop this show after that. Can you talk a little bit about Runaround?
Yeah, so Runaround, I mean, when you listen to the song and pay attention to the lyrics, it's very simple. I mean, it sounds like, oh, it's about this guy who's infatuated with this girl that he can't have, or he can't, you know what I mean? It's running around on him.
Right.
But there's like a deeper, there's a story within a story, for Runaround. It's more about self-worth, and it's about one's inability to value themselves. So, like, for example, if you believe this is all you deserve, it's all you'll ever have.
Yeah.
So Runaround being literally a circle, you know, it goes both ways. It's about putting yourself down to lift somebody else up,
yeah,
or taking someone down to feel lifted up. You know,
yeah,
neither one of those,
yeah,
things.
But, yeah. So you've done some time in therapy?
Music is my therapy, man.
Oh,
actually,
it is?
I have, yeah. I have
too. I just recognize those sort of insights. You're like, oh, yeah, I've been on the couch when the person explained that to me.
I have been on the couch before, and also I do a lot of reading. I read a lot of like philosophy stuff, and I pay attention to those little insights and those like profound, simple wisdoms that I think, you know, and I've learned a lot from that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, also congratulations on having a song in the Billboard Top 40.
Yeah, thank you. It went to 35 this week.
Congratulations, man.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Yeah, super sweet.
Yeah.
Really, really sweet.
How do you celebrate something like that?
Oh, man. Gently, because I'm hoping that we progress from here. So, you know, I had a beer with my buddy Josh that I've been playing with for the last 12 years.
That's good.
Bit of beer, and that was that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
Well, Michael, it's been great talking to you. The album's called Milky Stars. It'll be out September 16th. Lady Luck's available. And also when this comes out, Runaround will be available. You can find Michael at michaelmccarthymusic.com. Show's probably coming up more in the fall to support the record. And call your local radio station, your local AAA station. You know, they're the last stations. Obviously, the independents are too, but like they're the last stations that can make choices. Like people can make choices there. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like we just, like I said, we did Lightning 100 in Nashville yesterday. And it's, I mean, they're incredible. They're the eclectic mix of music that they play on that. It is 100% curated. And, and you can tell that they care about it.
It gives me hope because that's the sort of thing where like once that Clear Channel sort of like wave came over so many stations and just that mindset of like those testing things where like you don't like the DJ. It's in that Tom Petty song. You know what I mean? The last DJ, there was a point in my life where you listened to certain DJs not even just the station, but you'd go and listen to this certain person you trust. They told you if it was going to rain. They told you, you know what I mean? They told you, what was coming up that was cool. They introduced you to cool new jams. You know, they sort of, you had this relationship with them. And I feel like I'm glad to know that labels and people are still putting money into that, into terrestrial radio because of the fact that when you get into that playlist world and into an algorithm, you don't really get introduced to new shit.
Right. The internet streaming and streaming services, they're built to keep you on the platform. So they're going to feed you stuff that is popular that they think you'll like.
Oh yeah.
As opposed to something happening organically.
Yeah. It's really a bummer. It's sort of like, it makes it difficult to, and then also like the playlist, have you gotten on any playlist? Are you working that angle as well?
We're working it. Nothing yet, but I mean, that's what everybody wants, right? Everybody's trying to get on the playlist.
Do you follow any playlists? Like, how do you find new music?
Take recommendations from musicians and various ways. I don't like. Sometimes I'll play it. Like, create a radio station off of an artist, but even that, they're playing things that they think you'll like.
Yeah.
Not like artists that are actually like that artist or, you know, that live in that world all the time. So, I don't know. I mean, just a lot of different ways, you know, but mostly from people just recommending a band or you seeing somebody open up for somebody or something like that.
Yeah. Michael, I want you to check out Richard Thompson because I think you might really fucking like him. Write
okay,
that down. Richard and Linda Thompson. I think that was his wife in the 70s, and they made a few records together that are really unbelievable.
Okay, I'm texting it to myself. I don't have a pen.
Man, congratulations. It's been great talking to you, and I do love this record, and you really are a fucking great songwriter, and I can't wait to hear what else you have to offer.
Man, Johnny, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad it worked out.
Yeah.
And whenever I'm in Texas, we'll have to link up.
Please, I would love that. Anytime you're in Austin, if I'm not playing, I would love to come see you play. Hang out.
Okay.
Yeah,
that
man.
Sounds great.
Great meeting you, dude.
All right, brother. Take care.
Can't you tell if she don't play the lie so well? Neither could the souls who fell.
That's Michael MacArthur, his album. Milky Stars, available on September 16th on Transoceanic Records, produced by Grammy winner Jack Wire King, who did Kings of Leon and Tom Waits. Get out there and check out his singles Lady Luck and Run Around Now. Go to Michael MacArthur Music for all your Michael MacArthur needs. I had a really great time talking to him. I really did. MichaelMacArthurMusic.com. All right. When you're out there checking out MichaelMacArthurMusic.com, you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you find podcasts, be it Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Overcast. Oh, everywhere, new shows every Tuesday, every Friday, sometimes three shows a week, just like this week, all right? Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing, gang. Have a great weekend, all right? Let's get down.
Rainbows in your city, wait, wandering. I'd attempt trouble again. Here we go. You know the quickest way to make circles, tie a knot in your blindfold. Well, here we go. Listen up, son, you're never gonna be fast enough. Doesn't matter if you think she's fun, she's going a ton and she's running around her. Listen up, son, you're never gonna get close enough. Won't matter if the damage is done. She's going to town and she's running around. Chase for the keep, not the rush. Hunt for the goal, not the burn. It's the same old thing. Dirty road, dusty wings. Tell me, my friend. We'll be right back.
never gonna get close enough. It won't matter when the damage is done. She's going to town and she's running around her. Listen, I'm sorry.